You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
We're both dudes. Hey, welcome to Nightlight, everybody. It is great that you are here because we are going to celebrate Tuesday evening the way only Nightlighters can. Welcome to the show. I'm Pete Schwabba. Sitting across from me, in a manner of speaking, is Greg Bach. Hi, buddy. How are you?
I'm well. Oh, there's my pen. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. Hi. I'm doing well. Thank you so much for asking. And I was going to say for having me, but I'm here. My name is on the billboard now, so I have to be here. It's not like
you're having. You've been halved.
Yeah, I've been halved. I'm doing well.
Had.
Thank you very much. Yes, I appreciate that. Having a good day, having a good night. We're here on Nightlight, episode 2 of version 2.0.
I love it, man. It's great. Our second night, and Dom Lee working the board, buddy, looking as handsome as ever.
Aww.
Well, not quite as ever. Slightly less handsome than you looked last night.
I was about
to
blush.
Good. You're very presentable.
Oh, that was really you really gave that compliment and just took it right back.
I was so happy.
Hey, man, you're doing great. Not as great as yesterday, but, you know, I guess, you know.
Well, you know what, Greg? Looks aren't everything to me. I just meant he's slightly less handsome. He's more on top of everything else in his life, though. So
that's true.
I guess I'm not as superficial as you, so that's fine.
Wow.
Whoa.
Good save. Good save and deflection. Are you talking to the State of the Union tonight? My goodness. All right.
I'm the guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, we got a really fun show tonight, folks.
We do.
It's going to be, we got great guests, and we got a fun question we're going to roll out in just a few minutes. Greg, I have to get something off my chest. I'm alone most of the day for good reason. And
okay, turn into a sad song here.
No, I get these, Dom, some mood music, please. No, I've got these thoughts throughout the day, and when I read them, they drive me bananas. And here is my new pet peeve. When people say something to you or on social media that they think is earth-shattering, and then they go, let that sink in. Okay. I mean, and like, for example, Brett Favre played his first game 31 years ago. Let that sink in. I got it right away. I didn't need to let anything sink in.
Well, I mean, that's just the thing is we have a very weird relationship with the passage of time. There's a joke from Tig Notaro where someone said the effect of like, my God, my kid's 5 years old. Can you believe it? Yeah, of course I can believe it.
Yeah,
that's how time works.
Right.
I mean, it's just a matter of like, yeah.
I mean, just don't need to ever hear that again. It's like when people say, so the other day, right? Yeah, I'm with you so far. I'm right there.
Well, that's how I felt whenever a comic would get on stage and be like, well, recently, I'm like, yeah, recently, I'm sure, 3 years ago, recently. Okay, fine. No, I get that. And I love the tag, just saying.
Just saying, right. Yeah, you just said it. You got it.
Yeah. Just saying. I know you're just saying. I heard you say it. I have ears that work. It picks up sound waves. All of those noises were words. You said it. Good job. Now I'm peeved.
My sole purpose in saying that was to get you all worked up.
Thank you.
Mission accomplished.
There you go.
But you know, I'm an optimist. I'm a happy guy. I can still point out things like this that I don't think we need anymore. It's like the kind of the dumbing down of society a little bit. Dom, you've worked at Civic Media for a year and a half now. Let that sink in.
Well, there we go. It's only been 9 months, actually. So.
The world
you were
is
slightly
not round.
More handsome yesterday.
Oh my god.
Let that sink in.
Oh, that's just gonna hurt him later when he's in bed tonight. He's staring at the ceiling going, oh, it's sinking in right now. I'm not pretty. The world is not flat or round. Let that sink in.
Well said, Greg. Way to go, buddy. I knew we were on the show together.
There you go.
Lots of fun tonight, folks. As I mentioned, we've got you want to introduce our guests?
All right, Pete, just take a breath. All right, we're speaking
I'm gonna
tonight.
I'm going to take louder.
Tonight after the 5:30 news, we'll be speaking to Eileen Newcomer, who is the deputy director of the League of Women Voters Wisconsin, talking about things like the SAVE Act, the MEGA Act, how that could affect our voting abilities as far as what those laws are proposing, as well as other things having to do with this election year. And then in the second hour at 6:22, we'll be talking to Megan Anderson. Oh, I lost the other one's name. I'm
Crystal
so,
Growl.
Crystal, thank you very much. They are from, I want to get this name correct because it's absolutely wonderful, Lakeshore Foster Family and Friends, talking about the porta potty races they hold every year. We'll be talking about that event, how you can watch if you're in the area, but it's going to be really fun. And then, of course, at the end of the show, we'll be wrapping it up with a handy tip from Greg and Pete. This time, it's about how we should treat our robot friends. Robot. Robot.
We need to embrace it. We're all going to die, but we need to embrace it.
Man, you are full of good cheer and fundum today. My goodness. Dom, you're ugly. I don't like when people talk, and we're all going to die.
Dom, is that what you took out of that you're ugly?
Yeah, I wrote that actually.
Slightly. Okay.
I wrote it down and said, yeah, Pete, I don't really mess with Pete anymore. So that's kind of what I wrote.
Listen, have you ever read the Portrait of Dorian Gray? That's you, Dom. No, that was a literature reference.
He had a great hair day yesterday. That's what put him over the top. He looks the same.
I think he was wearing a bandana yesterday, wasn't he?
I was wearing a beanie.
Yes.
I always wear my beanies. It's like my go-to thing. You can see my hair. Yeah. Pete.
Oh my goodness.
Well, we've got a lot to get. There's a big thing happening tonight, Greg.
Yes, there is. Absolutely.
Something I like to call the State of the Union address. I don't know.
Well, and that kicks off our big three stories of the day, Dom. Tonight's the State of the Union address, my friends. Are you excited, Pete? What is your money on? I feel like we can bet on this. There's got to be betting available on the State of the Union.
That would be like the easiest odds ever. Because I know he's going to talk about tariffs because of the recent vote from the Supreme Court. I know he's going to talk about the economy. I don't know what he's
and how
say
amazing
about
it is, whether you like it or not.
Right.
Well, I found this tweet on the Twitters. Which, by the way, you can always catch us on the live stream. If you're listening to us right now, you can always watch us live on the live stream, Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. And also give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. But a person on Twitter put it perfectly. I feel like this is a distillation of what will happen tonight. This is called the MAGA Cliff Notes for the State of the Union. Chapter 1, if something goes wrong, blame Democrats. If the economy is good, credit Trump. If the economy is bad, blame Biden. If facts contradict the narrative, call it fake news. If Trump says it, repeat it. If evidence appears, ignore it. If questioned, attack the messenger. If policies hurt people, call it patriotism. If creates fear, share it faster. And loyalty over truth, always. So that's basically the rundown.
So no need to watch, but definitely tune in anyway because Civic Media will be covering.
Yeah, so the speech, we are in Wisconsin. We are in the central time zone. It takes place at 9 p.m. tonight, but you can watch it at 8 p.m. You can also catch it on Civic Media. Civic Media is going to be presenting a special broadcast with host John Scott doing coverage beginning at 8 p.m. tonight. We'll be doing post-address analysis as well. There will be guests. I believe that a winter storm on the East Coast could possibly change that. So we will just say there will be guests there. But if you want to check that out, that'll be right here at Civic Media starting at 8 with the address and then post-show analysis with John Scott afterwards.
I got to tell you that if you're not typically a State of the Union watcher, you definitely want to hear John Scott's take. He is not a stuffed shirt. He's going to come on. He's got that awesome voice.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like, you're going to be like in the mood to go out and party after you hear John Scott talk about the State of the Union. And it might give you a weird sensation.
Oh, boy.
from a party standpoint. So, I think you've got supposedly only a few of the Supreme Court members were invited.
Yeah. So,
can we verify that?
Because of last week's decision from the Supreme Court regarding tariffs. It was a 6-3 decision with some of what he thought his stalwarts voting against his ability to impose tariffs. He said in an interview, actually at a podium, he said that the Supreme Court is barely invited to this. In fact, he said six are barely invited. Three are invited for sure. Those are the three who voted for what he wants to do, but they are barely invited. And what I did, I did a little digging into this too, in a New York Times article that I'm certainly trying to find right now, even though I'm always, there we go. This is a New York Times article where they actually show which justices come to the State of the Union. And I thought it was a required thing. They all had to be there for ceremony, pomp, and all the circumstance that's available. But really, the only one who's been there every year consistently has been Chief Justice John Roberts. Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito, who I would say are his biggest allies in the Supreme Court, they never come.
But they're not required. Do you think one has to show up to represent, and Roberts has been drawing the short straw or something, or what?
I mean, it looks at this breakdown. It's a very color coded graphic here, and Elena Kagan has gone every time. So has Brett Kavanaugh since being appointed. But yeah, I mean, Sonia Sotomayor has gone to two since 2017, and. I always thought they had just had to be there. But at this point this year, he has simply said, I would like one third of the court here. The rest can go take their robes and fly off into the sunset. I mean, it's going to be very interesting what he says to them tonight, because I don't know how much he's going to stick to the script.
One third of the Supreme Court, the men's hockey team, but not the women's, and Cash yep. Patel doing a beer bong for the hair of the dog. I think here's what I don't get.
Yeah.
Okay, so Trump will always tout his achievements and, all that kind of stuff. Gas prices are down. They are not talking about. Are they distracted by the Epstein files to the point they don't realize? And again, gas prices are not directly because of the president. They said it when Biden was. So I get it. I get that, and he shouldn't, but I'm surprised he isn't touting his policies have fixed gas prices.
But that's the thing, is no policies he can point to can show that he has, but they don't have to be low or high. He always just says they're $1.99, and people believe that. Right now, according to AAA, the average fuel price in America is $2.95, and I've seen places where I live as low as $2.22, and that's fine, but there are implications when the gas prices are that low. There are big time business implications when gas price and just to reiterate, I've said this many times before on this network, presidents do not determine the cost of gas in this country. So when it's high, it's not a president's fault. You got to look at the deals they're striking behind the scenes. That's what you look at. But they're gonna say gas is $1.99, and that's just never been true lately.
Correct. I think we are ready for number two, Dom.
Number two. All right, cool. We'll knock that out real quick. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the Milwaukee Brewers are stepping up to help fix the pothole problem by giving the city $27,000 to pay for large capacity asphalt hot boxes to repair potholes. And here's my favorite part, Pete, is that they're going to brand them with the Brewers logo on them. The pothole conditions were exacerbated by repeated freezing and thawing. And you just drove to Milwaukee this past weekend and you saw the potholes. They are bad. As part of the partnership, the Brewers decal will be posted on the equipment, with 75 Brewers logos expected to be stenciled on top of the newly filled potholes.
That is some serious branding.
We are And only $27,000,
how many potholes does that fix? That's my question.
Four.
Let that sink in.
There we go.
All right. Get us out of here.
All right. We've got Chris Casper on the text line. Says, if you have a vehicle that can take E85, it's about $1 a gallon cheaper. Thank you, Mr. Casper. Hey, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. We are coming back to give you the question of the day and talk about our third big thing. Don't go anywhere. This is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday night. Just a reminder, folks, the text and phone lines are open, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Give us a call or a text. Let us know your thoughts. You can chime in on anything we're talking about tonight, as usual. We got to get to our question of the night, Greg. How do you feel about that?
Yes, I feel great about that piece.
Here's our Nightlight question of the night. Do you tip fast food workers or baristas? Let us know what you think, folks. I have my own opinions on this, as I'm sure we all do. But I would love to know what you guys think about this, because I think it's a bit of a crock for many reasons. Greg and I are in total agreement on this, but let us know what you think. You can text us on the app, or if you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or X Twitter, you can drop us a stream comment or the good old-fashioned text line at 855-752-4842. Greg, you know, this isn't controversial. I'm referencing your comment earlier, but or do you think this is a divisive statement?
About tipping? Yes, absolutely.
Is anyone in favor of this?
Well, I mean, I'm going to talk about it more in the second hour, but I feel like I feel like this conversation is brought up in the matter of to stoke fire when there is a bigger, more nuanced discussion behind the initial question that we're not addressing as a society. But I feel like that nuance is not on our things to do list in this country. We like bite-sized arguments. We like the candy. We want to get into Twitter fights and social media arguments. But I want to look at the reasons why we're mad, and there's a very good reason why people are upset about this. So I would say that I will go deeper into that in the second hour.
That's fair, and we'll get Dom's thoughts too. I'll just say that I'm confused because I really despise this, but oftentimes I tip. I get so mad. I'm like, I shouldn't take it out on this person who might need the money. I got my own battles going on inside.
There you go. But that's going to be more in the second hour. We're going to talk about that. But now we're going to move on to our third and final story of the evening. Go ahead, sir.
Robert Carradine passed away, the actor, at the age of 71. He's part of the Carradine brood. They have a big extended family, one of those Hollywood families where I didn't know Martha Plimpton was a Carradine, but she's...
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, wow. She's the daughter of Keith Carradine, David Carradine, and then you got Robert Carradine, who passed away, took his own life at the age of 71 after dealing with bipolar disorder for, I guess, a couple decades. But he, for me, he'll always be remembered for that role of Lewis in Revenge of the Nerds. I thought he was so funny in that. And then he kind of went away. Well, he did like four more of those movies, but a tragic story. You hate to hear stuff like that.
And I think that, you know, that was the thing is for me, he's frozen in time as Lewis, even though he's done other things. He did really, I mean, like he's been in roles where he's played real kind of scummy characters. Like he's an actor. And it's like the Barrymores or the Fondas. Like it's just a ton of actors in that family. And the father, John Carradine, was in The Grapes of Wrath. And what really sucks is that he took his life because of a struggle with bipolar disorder. And in the statement from his family, they said that they're hoping that the good that can come from this, if anything, is that people finally someday start having a conversation about how this can affect people. And, you know, that really, I mean, that was one of those things, Pete, where I saw it and I had to look twice because I'm like, this isn't right. This is what? And just out of nowhere, it's gone. He's gone. And that really sucks. And
Yeah, it's news either way because an actor we've all heard of passed away at 71, which isn't young, but it's not old either. And what makes it so newsworthy is how he did it. And that's the tragic part of it. And you think to yourself, well, this guy's from this big family we just mentioned. Who was looking out for him? He's not living on the streets like this guy. And you know, friends and family sometimes can only do so much. But it's a terrible thing. He was in Mean Streets.
Yes.
He had a very small part when he was a boy, I think. So got over 150 credits. Mm-hmm. Really good career. And it's a really terrible story.
And that's just that just goes to reiterate the point. If you know anybody who's struggling, reach out, try to help them. You know, you can't force yourself upon them. But if you can sit down, have a chat, help them find help. Be whatever you can in their lives. That's very, very important because, I refer to him as famous. I know there's probably a lot of people who are like, I'm not sure who that is, but to me, he's famous. And this doesn't affect one type of person. It affects everybody. And so my heart and warm thoughts go out to the Carradine family. If you read their statement, they are devastated by this. So if you know someone who needs help or if you need help, please reach out, get some help.
And one of those families, like they're a huge showbiz family, mm-hmm. but they're never, they're not like the Kardashians or, you know, the Charlie Sheen's family. Like they're never in the news for terrible things, or at least not that I can recall. They seem, so many showbiz families surprise you because they're strikingly normal. Yeah. And that's what's weird about this too. Like you don't, I didn't even know he was part of that Carradine family until I read this news last night. So yeah, a terrible story. And that wraps up our big three. Before we hit the news, sports and weather here, folks, we've got Tom from Hartford says low gas prices equal slowing economy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay.
When the gas prices are lower, that means oil is lower, which means they're drilling less, which means they'll close sites, which means people possibly lose their jobs. There are huge implications to cheap gas prices in this country.
Right. Tom also weighed in on our question of the night. We can read that really quick before we go to break. He says he only tips people that supply him custard. Okay.
Well, tell me where you live. I'll bring you a bucket. I'll take the cash, baby.
All right, we are coming right back after news, sports, and weather. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. So much fun. Still on the docket. Yeah, I said docket. Let that sink in. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Network.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. If you are tuning in, we're happy you are here sharing time with us. If you want to be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still ahead, we are going to be talking to, I want to get this name correct because I like saying it correctly, the Lakeshore Foster Families and Friends about the porta potty races taking place coming up very soon. And then also Greg and Pete's handy tip of the day. Just to reiterate as well, our question of the night, do you tip fast food workers or baristas? You can call in 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the live stream or text us through the Civic Media app. We're going to keep the show rocking and rolling right now with our first guest this evening. She is the deputy director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. Eileen Newcomer is our guest. Good evening, Eileen. How are you tonight?
Hello. I'm doing okay, you know, all things considered. But I'm very happy to be in the room with you all. So I'm just
I think that's a fair response. I've been seeing that a lot lately. I'm like, how you doing? They're like, I'm fine. Like, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes absolute sense. Eileen, we really thank you for being here this evening. I've spoken to Deb Cronmiller a number of times, and I'm excited to have you on the show this evening. And I want to just we wanted to know, first and foremost, tell us about the League of Women Voters Wisconsin, what your mission is, what you seek to accomplish, and how you get it done by working in the community.
Sure. So the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin is the state chapter of a national organization, but we are a federated organization, which is kind of wonky and weird, but we have a national league that works on national issues, the state league, which I work for, which focuses on statewide issues, and then local leagues are all volunteer run grassroots organizations in their own right. And there's 21 local leagues around the state of Wisconsin. And what unifies us is our shared mission to empower voters and defend democracy. We do this by informing people of their rights, of encouraging people to get out to vote, providing advocacy for our elections to ensure that we have fair, safe, secure elections. And then our membership also works together to determine our positions that we have on issues. So we are staunchly nonpartisan, but that does not mean that we're not political. We definitely have an opinion on a whole host of issues. And it's all about, you know, getting people together to talk about, you know, what are the things that are affecting us most in our life and what are the policies that we would like to see to move things forward. One of the things that we have going on right now is our Unite and Rise campaign, which is our response to the constitutional crisis that we find ourselves in right now. And like, I don't care what language you want to use. Some people call it constitutional crisis. Some call it rising authoritarianism. Some people call it fascism. Some people call it a dystopian nightmare. But I think we all know what it is that we're living in right now, and that it is not a government of the people, by the people, for the people. And that's really what the League is all about, is making sure that our democracy is functioning and that it truly represents the people.
So what do you say, Eileen, to people who, like, you're nonpartisan, voting should be nonpartisan, but I know that there are some people in society that look at what you do, trying to make it easier for people to vote, and that becomes political somehow, like you kind of just mentioned. How do you change the narrative for that?
It's a great question, and I always like to try to better understand where the person's coming from when they have that point of view, that the act of voting is partisan, because I think that there's kind of a mismatch between, are we a democracy where it's one person, one vote, and we all have a say and a stake in our future? Or is that idea partisan? And I think that's part of why we see ourselves in the moment that we are in, is because a lot of people have started to view just the simple act of voting as being partisan. And we all know that politicians have been, you know, using their power to try and divide us, rig the map so that they choose their voters instead of voters choosing them. And this is all part of that same system that is crumbling our democracy.
Well, when you bring up something like the politicians using their power, that brings me into my question regarding both the SAVE and the MEGA Act that were passed in the House and want to be passed through the Senate. I've seen stories say it's likely not to happen, but that doesn't make me feel better. It gives me great pause regardless, that we have politicians who are trying to create bills that restrict access to voting or make it that you have to pay for certain things to vote, which to me is a poll tax, but then spinning it as this is about election safety and election and keeping things consistent and safe. How do you from the league combat that kind of very simple language by saying that's not the real story? You have to look behind the words.
Yeah, you definitely have to look behind the words. Whenever there is a bill that's introduced that affects voting, we really need to think about who is this going to impact most, and why would it be that we want to make it harder for that group of people to vote? And essentially with the SAVE Act, it would be making it harder for older adults and women in order to vote, because and people are like, why would that be? I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And we have a culture where most women, once they get married, they change their last name. And that adds an extra layer of paperwork to be able to prove that you are who you say you are. And from a feelings perspective too, it's almost like the government is asking you to track the ownership of yourself as a woman from your father to your husband. Let's say you got divorced and you got married again to your next husband. And that doesn't feel good either. And that doesn't feel like a democracy that values me as a woman. And I think we also need to remember how much our country has changed over the last 250 years. And even more recently with the number of access to hospitals. And a lot of people, especially older adults, were actually born at home and never had a birth certificate. So how are you supposed to ever get that documentation to prove that you are a citizen if you were never issued that documentation to begin with? And so once we start looking at that, we're like, okay, what is going on here? Why are they trying to pass the law like this? And we can't forget that this is coming out of Wisconsin. So my congressional leader, Brian Steil, is one of the people who is really pushing the SAVE Act and the MEGA Act. And why? Our elections in Wisconsin are secure. They're safe. They've been audited. They've been investigated. They have been sued for issues. And, you know, there have been small, minor things, but those are all tweaks that happen. And we can adjust to make those things not a problem in the future. So if people are, you know, really savvy about elections, they might know about the investigation into Madison with a few of the absentee ballots that went missing. And so like that is a real problem. We do have real problems with our elections. Whether or not Susie got married three times and she needs to show her documentation of every time that she was married and divorced, I don't see what that has to do with the act of voting. And if you are afraid of non-citizens voting, then just do a deep dive into the research. People have studied this. They have, again, audited this. Non-citizen voting is extremely, extremely rare. And the consequences for doing that are also very severe. And so nobody wants to risk their livelihood, their ability to be part of the community, be there with their family by voting when they are not supposed to be voting.
You know, it's interesting you just said that people, some of these acts, the Mega Act and the Save Act, want people to show papers. And this is going to affect younger people and people of color more. But I would think even, you know, other people, other factions of society don't want to have to dig for all that stuff. I know when I need a copy of my birth certificate, I'm pretty on top of things. It takes me a couple hours to find it, or a Social Security card, or papers. Like, who wants to do that on either side of the aisle?
Exactly right. And I think we all know people who have tried to get the real ID, that one with the star on it, who have had trouble. I mean, my husband, he went and tried to get his, and his says not for federal use. I make a joke that it's not a real ID. But no, it is complicated and it's hard. And I, you know, my grandma, she had to go 3 times to the DMV to get her real ID. And if you take that kind of thing and then put the timeline of elections, you may not have the time you need in order to get the documents to prove that you are who you say you are. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to not have people vote just because there is bureaucratic systems that take time for people to get documents that the government already has.
Well, and to me, that, you know, that's something that I've flippantly said, fine, pass the Mega Act, pass the Save Act, but then the government is then responsible for putting into place systems in which we can access all of those things easily and for free. Because the moment you introduce a point where you say, well, I have to buy a brand new birth certificate, that to me equates a poll tax. It requires me to pay this thing in order to vote. But when you try to bring that up, I mentioned it on Twitter, which was my mistake to begin with. I take full responsibility for saying anything on Twitter. But the moment I said something, a person came back saying, well, I guess you just love for illegals and immigrants to vote in elections. I'm like, I can't do this right now. I don't have time, because, again, we're having a conversation right now and we're talking about this in a nuanced sense. But it's hard to put all this information into the minds of people who don't understand the total impact. They've just been told, we want to make elections safer, and they leave it at that. Well, of course I do. Of course I. Yes, I'll vote for that. But they don't understand the full implication, because not everyone has the time. As you said, they don't have the time to go get all these documents. They also maybe not have the time to sit down and take all this information in. So I guess the question I have goes back to, as the league, what are you doing to inform folks out there to make it bite size, if you will? I don't mean to be insulting in that sense, but like, for people to look it up, see what's going on, and make their own decisions based on this nonpartisan advice or information that you would have for them to understand.
Really important point, important question. And I think it's really important that you bring up the poll tax talking point as well, because that's what this would be, is that people would then have to pay in order to get documents to vote. And so you would have to be able to pay in order to vote. We've already been there. We've done that as a country. We've apologized for it. It's part of the system that has been imported nefariously to other countries. And I want to move forward. I don't want to go back. And I don't know about you, but that's where I'm at. Mm-hmm.
Our guest is Eileen Newcomer. She is with the League of Women Voters Wisconsin. Eileen, you know, there's so much information out there. You know, people put it out there, oh, we're going to cancel the election this, or we're going to do this to the election, make it more difficult, the Save Act. Has anything really changed in your opinion, like from the last election? What do people need to know about the upcoming midterms as voters?
I think one of the biggest things that people need to know is that we finally have fairer maps. And so all of our state legislative races are going to be much more competitive than they have been for the last decade. And that means voters have even more of a choice than they had before to decide who wants to represent them. And I think we also can't ignore the climate that we find ourselves in. And when we vote, we are saying we want this person to go represent us either at the state level, the federal level, the local level. And we want to make sure that there are people who are going to represent us that actually have our best interests at heart and are not trying to sell us away. To sell our assets.
We're going to keep the conversation going with Eileen Newcomer. She is the deputy director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. We're talking about the Save Act, the Mega Act, and how we need to protect our right to vote here in Wisconsin as well as the rest of the country. Questions, comments, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. I see text coming in for it as well. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. Stay tuned and stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. If you want to get in touch with us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. And we see text messages coming through. We see messages coming through on the live stream, so we really appreciate that. Don't forget, after the 6 o'clock news break at 6:20, we're going to be speaking to the Lakeshore Foster family and friends about the porta potty races taking place, how you can get involved, how you can see it if you're in the area, and just the fact that we're talking about porta potty races seems absolutely wonderful. But right now, we're continuing our conversation with Eileen Newcomer, who is the deputy director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, discussing the SAVE Act, the MEGA Act, and just protecting the ability to vote in this country. And I know on the live stream I said that I wanted to ask you one thing, but I saw Sage Weil, who is the owner of Civic Media, asked me to ask a question, so I'm going to do that. And he said that he wanted to know about very restrictive rules, which he said, ask her about the very restrictive rules for which IDs are allowed in Wisconsin, like not out-of-state IDs, even if it's a real ID, as far as like how is that affecting voting, if that is affecting at all?
Had a very strict voter ID law here in Wisconsin since 2016. Mm-hmm. And there are only 9 different IDs that you can use. And even if they are government issued, if they're outside of the state of Wisconsin, beyond a passport, that doesn't work as proof of identity. So when you use your photo ID at the polls, you are proving that you are who you say you are. So they look at your photo, they look at the name, and say, okay, is this the name that's on the poll book? Does this picture reasonably match the person in front of me? And that's the purpose and the point of having an ID when you go and vote. And so there are 9 options, passport, state driver's license, so Wisconsin driver's license or state ID card. It does not have to be a real ID, so the one with the star. If it's not for federal purposes, that still counts as a photo ID. There are lots of restrictions on college IDs, but there are ways that they can be used for ID for somebody who's going to vote. Veterans IDs, tribal IDs, and certificates of naturalization that have your photo on them count. And there may be 1 or 2. I didn't count as I was going off. I should have. But yeah, so it's a very restrictive list. And I think that it's important for people to know that you have to do that in addition to providing proof of residence when you register to vote. So when you provide proof of residence, you have to provide a document that shows your name and your address on it. And that is a document that you use to prove that you live where you say you live. And so with the SAVE Act or the MEGA Act, we'd actually be talking about adding a third layer of documentation to the 2 layers that already exist here in Wisconsin. And I know that it's some of the talking points is like, oh, photo ID has a lot of broad support. And I would say that is true, but in the way that they're talking about the SAVE Act and proof of citizenship in order to vote, they're making that seem like that is just photo ID, which we already have here in Wisconsin. And it is preventing people from voting. After every election, I request the list of provisional voters from the Wisconsin Elections Commission so we can follow up with that list. And that list is people who went to vote thinking that they would be able to vote, you know, passed the registration hurdle, but did not have that photo ID. And so we actually contact all the people who show up to vote, trying to vote, but are not able to vote because of that. And there are hundreds of them. And there's even a study that was done by UW-Madison that talked about the impact of photo ID after it was implemented in 2016. And it prevented, I would say, upwards of 20,000 people in the Madison, Milwaukee areas from voting.
Eileen, my parents have always been election observers, and I always feel very secure when I go in to vote. Like, there's very little voter fraud. That's been proven. But some people say there is, and we should be alarmist and all that kind of stuff. What does an election observer do? And what do they look for when they're in that physical space, assuming it's not some kind of, nothing's being hacked, there's only so much they can do, but do we have enough election observers and what exactly do they look for?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the League actually runs the largest statewide nonpartisan election observer program. And I've been coordinating it for just under 10 years now. And it's a very robust program. We provide training for people to understand the rules to observe. So people can observe, you know, with an organization like the league, they can observe with a partisan organization, like one of the parties, or they can just show up as an individual of like, hey, I just want to know more about how elections work. I want to see it, you know, with my own eyes and not trust what other people are saying. Anybody who's interested in observing elections is able to do so. There are rules that you need to follow to make sure that you don't interfere with the election process. Like you're not, you know, talking to voters, telling them who to vote for, or, you know, doing something that could be perceived as electioneering or as intimidation. But you're really able to see the ins and outs of how elections are run on election day. And we want people to look at, you know, is anybody being turned away? Why are they being turned away? Are the rules being followed? Is anybody getting an exception to the rule that everyone else is supposed to follow? Because, you know, all of those do make an impact in how our elections are, whether or not they reflect the will of the people.
Great answer.
In the last bit we have left, really quick, Eileen, if people want to know more, get in touch with you, the group, the organization, where should they go to find? I know you've great toolboxes on your website to give information out. Where do they go to find you?
Just Google League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. Our website is lwvwi.org, but you can find us on the internet.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Eileen Newcomer is the Deputy Director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. She has been our guest this evening. This information will be in the show notes, so go to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach to not only look up the notes from today, but also download episodes and catch up. All two episodes as of tonight. Two episodes. So you're in the know. Eileen, thank you so much for being here tonight. We really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for doing what you do. Appreciate it.
All right, Eileen.
All right, when we come back, we're talking about the question of the night. We'll be talking about some of these text messages coming through, and then we'll be speaking with Lakeshore Foster family and friends about the porta potty races taking place this week. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. Here, stay tuned, stay close.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.